Birth is inherently safe, or where this planet would have 5 people on it. A lot of us are so scared of birth. And what have you seen as your first birth education since you've been 3? That black box, Hollywood, gives you this 3-minute crash course, everybody dies in birth scenario.
You do not have to give birth with your gynecologist. Just because you have been seeing some women's health doctor for your entire life since you were 16 years old, and now you get pregnant, there's no loyalty that's expected there.
You're birthing in an office building. It's a corporation run with policies and procedures. You need to understand what those policies and procedures are and how to keep yourself safe like a mammal birthing in that office system. Safety and lack of fear is how your labor is going to move forward.
Welcome back to the Healthy as a Mother podcast. I am your co-host, Dr. Morgan McDermott, and this is the show for becoming and being a mother, where Dr. Leah and I share the natural women's health and motherhood guidance that you've been looking for through a fresh, functional, and balanced lens. Today, you're going to learn all about how to rock your hospital birth, and here to teach you is the hilarious, the knowledgeable childbirth educator and doula, Care Messer. This is probably the least boring birth prep hour you're ever going to hear, so buckle up. Since about 98.3% of births happen in the hospital in the United States, we're going to talk about how to have the most undisturbed and physiologically supported hospital birth possible. Care shares her wisdom through a set of step-by-step instructions and tips for women planning to give birth in the hospital so that they can avoid as much unnecessary intervention as you can, because that's going to lead to better birth outcomes for you and your baby. Some of her tips might surprise you, so definitely share this with your partner and your birth team so that everybody can get on the same page and empower yourselves going into the hospital setting. Let's go. Okay, so welcome back onto the show, Care Messer. You are a really, really big important person in my life because you were my hypnobirthing instructor with our first baby, and we connected for multiple different reasons, and we've stayed in touch for multiple different reasons. And I think our philosophies on birth are one of the big main things there, because we just are both in the sort of realm of wanting to shout from the rooftops so that people can have better experiences, so they can have a better, more empowering idea of what birth is, and then entrance into motherhood. And so for this episode, I will introduce you in just a second, but for this episode, we wanted to talk about how to have the best hospital birth possible. And you're going to learn some things in this episode that are probably not what you were expecting to hear. And that is why I chose you, because this is something that during the class, I really learned a lot about. I was planning a home birth anyways, but I loved all of the things that you were telling the ones that were planning a hospital birth. And I was like, wow, this is so important and such good information. So I wanted to bring that to our audience too. So welcome and thank you for being here, Care.
Thank you. Just so your audience knows, she gives me 1 hour to do a topic that could be 12 part episodes. So just heads up, because once I start, it's going to be a lot.
No, and I love it. And you're... other episode that you're on our show is about VBAC. And so I'll link that in the show notes too, because it's really, really good from a doula perspective, birth educator perspective, all about how to have a really good empowered VBAC. And there's so much amazing information in that episode. So I just wanted to introduce you though, that you are the founder of the Birth Education Center, which is in San Diego, and you teach online hypnobirthing classes that anyone can take at any time. You're my top recommendation for anybody who's looking for a full, complete, amazing, hilarious, educational, engaging birth class, especially for the partners. I feel like you are the least dry, least boring person ever to teach about birth. And so it really wraps, the husbands, if we're being stereotypical heterosexual couple here, but like the husbands get wrapped in and like are engaged and they're into it, which is hard sometimes to do because they feel a little bit like this isn't, their forte. And so
And birth is messy and sloppy and gross and funny. And if you can't make fun of it and feel what it really is, you can't have a good birth class, because it can be dry as F and you're like, and then no one's engaged. The teacher's not even engaged. Right. So yeah, we do make jokes, lots of jokes.
Yeah. And I love that, because it's the kind of information too that sticks with you when you're in the throes of labor yourself. So anyway, you're a certified hypnobirthing instructor. You're a donut certified doula. You teach doulas. You're a childbirth educator. You have a slew of different courses and amazing resources on your website, which we will have linked, as well as your podcast and your Instagram, all of the different ways that you put out content and information in the world to help people. It'll all be available there. So thank you so much for everything that you do. And let's go ahead and talk about this. Kind of, can you give us an overarching, why would someone even, I mean, hopefully if they've been listening to the show for a period of time, they would understand that there are systems within the birth world that don't serve women. And if your goal is to have a fewest intervention possible, highest empowerment possible birth, and you want to choose it to be at the hospital for some reason, you're going to need to do work. There are things that you need to do. We cannot walk into this blindly. We cannot just say, oh, I'm going to go with the flow. Oh, I'm just listening to every single thing that my provider has said to me. And that's not to say that these people are evil and they're out to get people. It's just that it is a long, hard job. They work 12-hour shifts. There's a little bit of a dehumanization in that process. There are protocols and hospital pressures that they have to also abide by. And so as the woman coming into this, if you are a passive participant in your birth, you are so much more likely, doesn't mean it's always going to happen, but you are so much more likely to experience birth as out of control, overwhelming, traumatizing, even maybe something that happened to you. You didn't have a lot of voice. You didn't have a lot of choice. And you may not even actually realize that that's something that is important to you before you've gone into it. And I mean, you and I both know it's so very common for the second time mom to choose a different birth setting, to choose either home or a birth center because their first hospital experience was so bad. I wish it wasn't that way. I'm not trying. There's no incentive that I have for people to choose home birth. It is just a fact. And I wish to reduce the overall suffering of mothers in this world. So that is why I have this podcast. It's why you do what you do. And so we are just giving you guys this information to empower you so you can advocate for yourself, make choices, be educated and informed, and know the things that you can do, because there's things you can do to make it better. That's the whole point of this episode. So pop off, Kara. Let's hear it. You have so much experience with this. I can't wait.
Well, and you have to realize that, and I have this in my classes, 99% of women give birth in the hospital. It's because that's where insurance covers. We all are not made of money. Some of us feel like that's a safer choice. As a mammal, you need to find your safest choice and feel comfortable there. The problem is we don't educate ourselves early enough and we don't know what options are available. And we haven't even pictured what kind of birth we want. We just maybe saw a YouTube video and went, oh my gosh, you birthed in water. That was amazing. You might not even have water available at your hospital. But you're thinking, that's the kind of birth I want. And so I like families to start off with a visualization of what kind of birth they want and then reverse engineer how to get to that kind of birth. So when, and your listeners can close their eyes if it's safe for them right now. If it's not safe because you're driving, please don't close your eyes. But start to think about what you look like in labor. You're upright, you're moving, your support team is there, you feel listened to, you feel heard, you feel loved. So feel what's happening in your body and how safe you feel, because that's very important when you're a mammal. You're moving through labor, somebody's feeding you, you're moving through labor, your eyes are closed, your music is playing. Once again, feel grounded, feel safe. The two safest people are there. Is that your doula? Is that your partner? Could it be a midwife? Like, what's happening in your home setting that makes you feel so safe, understood, heard? You get to the hospital, you're eyes are closed. You're still upright. You're still moving. You feel safe. Maybe you're getting a little bit of trail mix put in your mouth. Like, you go to the bathroom, you put your cozy clothes on. You still feel safe. You still feel warm. You're moving through labor. And then that baby comes out and is on your chest. And when you look down, you see this little head. Does it have hair? It's a little wet, wiggly body. It's warm on your chest. You look up, your partner's crying over you. You're crying. Everyone in the room kind of fades into the background. You feel safe. You feel warm. Your baby feels safe and feels warm. A warm blanket goes over the top of your baby. Your hands are on your baby. Your partner's hands are on your baby. What are the first words you speak to your baby? Oh my God, I love you so much. The feeling of relief that everything is safe comes over your body. Ooh, I have goosebumps.
Same.
That is where you go, okay, how do I ensure that that happens? And even if I can't ensure that happens, because babies have their own choice with this birth, right? They have little hiccups that they may need to have happen. You can still host that feeling in the room. And you are responsible for creating that feeling in the room with your practice, with your understanding, with your knowledge, and with the options that you choose. And that needs to be the forefront of what kind of birth experience do you want? And now how do I get to that? And early preparation is the key for a good hospital birth. Understanding that the hospital is a corporation. It is a building. You're basically birthing in an office building. Okay, that's where I'm going to feel the most safe, or that's what my insurance covers. So, goddammit, that's where I have to birth. Whatever it is that your feeling is, understand that you're birthing in an office building, okay? That's not cozy necessarily, but it's a corporation run with policies and procedures. So you need to understand what those policies and procedures are, what your options are within that system, and how to keep yourself safe like a mammal birthing in that office system where people are punching in, punching out, coming and going, switching around every 12 hours, sometimes earlier than that. People are coming and going. They're strangers. They're not the people you're bringing from home. So how are you going to feel safe in that environment? Because safety and lack of fear is how your labor is going to move forward. Because as a mammal, we protect our young. And if that means we don't feel safe, we're going to hold that baby in, lengthen labor, all the things. So dealing with that kind of stuff ahead of time and understanding that the basic premise of all this is that you are an autonomous being with choice. You are the one that says yes or no to anything. You are the one that makes the choices for your baby, and you are your best advocate. And if you need more advocates, then your partner and your doula need to be by your side and be well trained with what your needs are so that you can relax and be the mammal and birth that baby.
Yes, I wanted to kind of clarify or just emphasize, you're using the word safe a lot. And some people are going to listen to this and say, well, hold on, like you're almost saying this as if going to the hospital isn't safe. That's why I'm choosing the hospital, because I want my baby and myself to be safe. Because what if something happens and then that's where all the medical stuff is and blah, 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 blah. Okay, listen, we have to just face the music, which is that if there is an absolute emergency, which are overall rare in births, if it's not poked and prodded and caused by the medical establishment in the first place. So if we need something, then yes, the life-saving mechanisms at the hospital are amazing and great. Also, you can get there pretty quickly from home or a birth center in an ambulance. And like the statistics just do not show that it is a super unsafe option to birth outside of the hospital. It's just a fact. And if you want to fight me on it, then fight me on it. But I'll show you all the evidence. Anyways, there's that. But then two, do you actually feel safe in a room with the beeping lights and the monitors and stuff? Because some people have a very bad association with hospitals. Some people have had, I am not even one of those people. That's not even why I chose a home birth. But some people, like, you know, were traumatized as little children. They saw somebody die in a hospital, or they, whatever it is, they're very afraid of doctors. They've had bad experiences happen in the past. Like, and I feel for those people. That's very, very unfortunate when that's the case, because it is going to be harder for them to get into that mammalian brain, which we must be in order for the cascading physiological and hormone loops to happen to birth a baby. Okay, you guys, we have to not forget that we are animals. Everybody hates it when I say this. Humans are animals. Yes, obviously we are different than a lot of animals, but that doesn't mean that our bodies work in a different way. Our brains work in a different way. That's the only thing. Our bodies are completely the same as every other mammal. And when we mess with it and we get our big brains all freaked out and wigged out, it changes the way that our bodies can work. And the safest way for us to birth a baby into this world is with the least interruption, so that that body process can work. So how do you say safe in a hospital? Like, I think that what it is that you're saying here just before, as like a laying the foundation for this whole episode, is that you have to be able to get into this headspace and stay there without the interruption. And obviously there's going to be things they have to do. They have to check your blood pressure. They're going to like want to put the monitors on you and all these different things. But how can we do it in a way that keeps you in this little bubble so that you can allow your body to do what it's going to do, and so that you don't feel fearful? You're not overhearing inappropriate conversations. They're not trying to talk to you during a contraction. Like, these things happen, you know? So this is where the doula or the partner steps in and they say, hold on. Or they go and they meet the person at the door or whatever. I mean, we're going to get into these kinds of details. But I just wanted to say that really fast, that like, if somebody's feeling confused as to why we would even be bringing that up, that's why. Because a lot of people will feel like an observed animal in a laboratory in that sort of L&D room space. And even if your brain goes, no, I won't be that, you have to just assume that there will be some subconscious level of you that does. So you still, even if you're not one of those wigged out people, you still will want to do the things that we are talking about in this episode to help your little reptilian man, you know, animal brain calm down, which is going to be like, you know, keeping things dark and whatever, we're going to get there. But I just have to say it, because it's like a philosophical battle, I think, that some women have with themselves. And they're like, but having my baby outside of the hospital is not safe. And it's like, whoa, you guys, like, what do you mean? What's your definition of safe? Because there's actually a lot to unpack here about that. So we're not going to go into that right now, but I just wanted to say that really quick.
Well, we're kind of going to go into that. I'm going to kind of go into that because you have to. Understanding that you are a number in the system when you enter into the hospital, you're literally room 303. You're not Mary having a baby, which is a normal process. You are room 303. And that's a safety protocol set up by a corporation to stay out of lawsuits. Okay. That's just what it is. So in order to facilitate that warm, gushy, yummy, connected birth, you've got to first make sure that you've picked the best hospital for you. What is their C-section rate? You're not necessarily going to Google what's their NICU, right? We have that here. People are like, they choose a hospital based on the NICU. And I'm like, do you need a NICU?
Yeah.
Like that level, a level 1,000 NICU, is that what you really need if you're going in to have a normal, healthy, natural birth? You know, and I mean, vaginal birth, not doesn't necessarily medicated or unmedicated. Are you choosing it based on a NICU level? Because usually a NICU level also correlates with a high C-section rate for that hospital. So I want you to go look at the reviews for that hospital for the kind of birth you want that happened in that hospital. Can't find them in the reviews? That's going to tell you something. Can you find them in the Facebook groups when they say, oh, I was at that hospital, I was sick, and there was this, and there was this, and that's they're a high level person with lots of things going on. That's not you. And that's not the kind of birth you want at that hospital. So choosing a hospital, this is the kind of research I want you to do even before you contact a birth educator early in the process. Make sure you've got the right hospital and the right provider, because a high C-section rate provider, because they're an expert surgeon, might not be the right doc for you. You might want midwifery care. You might want a doc that's more natural minded. Even if you want medication, if they're more natural minded, that means less interventions and less things that can get you to a NICU. I want you to call a birth educator the second you're pregnant. And the reason I want you to call somebody in your area that is a birth educator is because when I get a call like that, even from a partner, a dad calls me, he's like, oh, she's 3 weeks pregnant, blah, blah, blah. We haven't even had it confirmed, but I know she's pregnant. She's throwing up her boobs, her, you know, whatever. He's so excited. And the first thing is, where's your provider? Have you chosen? I don't know. We're thinking this, but they don't know, right? So as an educator, I can tell you, these are your choices because you have Aetna, ProPlan, blah, 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 whatever. And here are our providers that we really have good luck with. You need to get in with them before you're pregnant. But sometimes you can get you in a little earlier than that or a little later than that. And I will know the best doulas. I know the ones that are going to support the kind of birth that you want. I might not be the educator for you. There might be six other classes in the area. I want you to call all of us and ask the questions like, what's the best hospital? What's the best provider? Start hearing what we're saying, because we're all going to say the same thing, because we know what our families have done the best with and who the best providers are for that. So the earlier you can find that out, that's one checkoff list. Like, I'm not as fearful now because I've taken a little bit of control of which hospital I've chosen, what are the best providers for the kind of birth that I've been imagining with that baby coming up on my chest with the least amount of interventions, which is the least likely my baby will go to the NICU, and taking ownership of your birth. A lot of us are so scared of birth, and what we have seen, the reason we're talking about safety, what have you seen as your first birth education since you've been three? That black box that tells you Hollywood gives you this 3-minute crash course, everybody dies in birth scenario. That's what you've seen, right? Or you get up to the register at Target, your water breaks and all hell breaks loose. When in reality, for one, your water breaks at Target, some guy that makes $7 an hour has to come clean that up. You're going to walk to your car. It's not that big deal, right? Like, you've peed yourself. It's not a scary thing. But Hollywood has sold those 3-minute worst case scenarios to fool you into thinking that you have to be saved from a normal process. I don't know a tree or a plant that has to be saved from a normal process. Like, we just do things in nature. Birth is inherently safe, or where this planet would have 5 people on it.
Yeah, I think that's something that people really forget is, like, if it was that sensitive, if we were that fragile, there would be problems. But then there's going to be the people that say, well, what the hell? I hear all these horror stories about how the doctor saved that person's baby and they almost died and blah, blah, blah. Okay, there is a little bit of a difference nowadays, which is that our modern society is as unhealthy as possible. But also, it's the way that we meddle and we poke and prod. So you have to not let them do those things. We do not need to be induced at 38 weeks for literally no reason. Like, that is how we're going to have more problems. And people don't want to make that connection because they want to just say, well, I was so grateful I was in the hospital because they saved me and they saved my baby. And it's very affronting. And it, you know, hopefully eventually in 5 years, 10 years time, they can come back around to that experience and say, you know what, actually, I think I was probably put in that position by what happened. And that's a big bummer. Okay, really quick, I want to say too, you do not have to give birth with your gynecologist. Just because you have been seeing some women's health doctor for your entire life since you were 16 years old, and now you get pregnant, there's no loyalty that's expected there. Also, don't be one of those women that's people pleasing around something like this. You're going to say, thank you for all your pap smears. I'm going to Joe Schmo down the street, whoever it is, because I've heard amazing great things about them and their practice. And I'll be back for my pap after postpartum or whatever it is. And they're going to say, cool, great, whatever. They are not going
to
care.
You don't even have to have the conversation.
Yeah,
Yes. Transfer your care over there, have your baby and come back. Like, it's no harm, no foul. You owe no one an explanation. Like, and a lot of people are afraid to switch because they're afraid of that conversation. Why are you having a conversation? I literally left my OB and went to a birth center, which freaked out my husband, but I knew inside it was right. I didn't have the conversation. I just called the front desk and said, I need my medical records transferred over to Bestar. Yep. Like, because I was afraid to have the conversation. And why? Do you know how many patients they have? Like, they're not attached to that. They're not going to go home and cry over it. I promise. It's just not.
And just because you like them, you've built a relationship with them, you feel like they know you, that does not mean that they are going to be the best person for your birth. That is a very, very different thing. The person that you meet who you actually has like the highest reviews and ratings might be like kind of weird, and maybe they don't even really talk that much, but in their philosophy and their belief systems about birth, they allow. But that's kind of how it is. They allow women to give birth without a bunch of interventions inside of that. And so even though they might be kind of like the strange person, whoever, or you know, they're rough around the edges, their personality isn't your favorite. I mean, obviously it'd be nice if they had good bedside manner, and sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But the point is that if you continue to hear repeated things, like you said, when you call all the birth educators, you call lactation consultants, you call all your friends, who did you guys have, you're going to see the same name said again and again and again, and that's your person.
For the good births.
Yeah, for the good births. Exactly.
Well, and one of the things too is we're so afraid to take ownership of our birth because we're not doctors. We don't know any of this stuff, right? So I want you to think about the power dynamic here. You don't take any ownership for your birth. You literally push it off to somebody in a white coat who doesn't have to do the healing afterwards, who doesn't have to be with the baby afterwards, who doesn't have to see the long-term consequences of what went on in that room afterwards. But we are so afraid to make choices and get educated because we feel so undeserving and inadequate that we give all of our power to somebody else who has zero skin in the game. You are the one that's going to get the good or the bad out of that, whether or not you made the choice or whether they made the choice. Wouldn't you rather go, but I was educated, my gut told me this, and I followed that, rather than everything was done to me and I'm a victim and you still have to deal with the consequences of that? Like, it doesn't make it any better. So it's much better to lower your fear level by going, oh, I really can control what's going on in birth, but I can control my practice, my mindset, my team, and understand that I make all the choices and I can say yes or no to anything and I don't have to be forced to do anything. That makes a huge difference in what you feel about your birth afterwards, especially in postpartum, because what goes on in your birth directly affects the postpartum. If you had a really good birth and you felt safe and heard, whether it was vaginal, medicated, not medicated, or a cesarean, you will have a better postpartum experience than if you're carrying trauma and feeling anxious. Nobody listened to me. I felt everything was done to me. I was a pincushion, whatever. And you bring that into a postpartum with no sleep, a new baby, and you're still trying to wrap your head around what just happened to you.
And like, even just listening to birth stories, the amount that you're going to learn if you've listened to enough, which, you know, all of pregnancy, ideally, if we're, let's just say walking, which is my favorite pregnancy exercise anyway, if you're walking for 30 minutes, as many days a week as you can, and you listen to a birth podcast every time you're doing that, you will get through so many, and you will start to hear repeated patterns of, here's the one that came to mind right now, was the woman who gets to 10 centimeters and is on an epidural and then failure to progress. And the baby's just, no, you know, I know you're already 10, but this baby's just not coming. And now their heart rate's starting to kind of decel. They're getting deeper into the pelvis. The Pitocin's cranked up higher. And now it's a C-section. You know how common that story is and how that is something that you then, if you are experiencing that in your birth, you're going to go, wait a minute, I know this. And no, I turn my epidural down, get me into some different positions, turn the Pitocin down a little bit, let me rest. I'm going to do this and that and the other thing. I'm going to eat a little bit, whatever. And boom, you know, it's just one of those, you have to know. There is a level of responsibility that we have going into all of motherhood. Like, you cannot just fly by the seat of your pants. Yes, it's natural and inherent, and there is instincts, of course, but that does not mean that there's not things to learn. You're not going to just know it all. There's things to know. So anyway, okay, I digress.
Yeah, this is why I'm saying it's a 12 episode thing. She's lying to you, and she says I can do this in an hour. You're a liar. And I like that you talk just as fast as me, because that's what we do. You need to build your team ahead of time. So hire a doula. The earlier you can hire a doula, you guys, I can't afford it. Okay. You can put them on a payment plan. You can find out from that birth educator who the best person is. If you really cannot afford one, can you afford one consultation with one in your area? What's the best hospital? What are their protocols? What do I need to prep myself ahead of time for how they're going to speak to me and how I can work with them? How do I build a team in that room? Take her knowledge. She's been in that room 100 times. And if that's all you, if you have an hour with her, 2 hours with her, it is worth every penny you have. Also, the earlier that you hire a doula, the easier it is to say to your family, no, we don't want any presents for our baby for the shower. We just want birth education paid for and a doula. So please don't get us any presents. I guarantee they will still get you a present because everyone has to fight for a baby, and they'll give you $100 for your education or your doula. So you can get all that. Some people actually come out ahead in that because everybody does that. They're like, oh, you want $50 for your class? Okay. And here's some onesies and here's a stroller. They have to buy for your baby. So the earlier you prepare for that, you can even be doing that now. You're not pregnant, but you can start gathering. You can save 10% every month from your checks. Like, plan for it like it's a wedding, like it's that important. So start saving for that. After you've interviewed all the educators in your area, pick which modality works for you. Is it Lamaze? Is it the educator that taught hypnobirthing? Is it the educator that taught birthing from within? Like, out of hospital education is what you want, not in hospital where it's free or $50, because they teach you how to be a good patient and they don't give you all the options. They give you, here's what is offered on our menu at our hospital and how you're expected to perform. Birth is a natural process. That is not what we want. By the way, we are not talking about induction because that's a whole other thing. And that would be a 24 episode thing for us to talk about. That's coming. From those teachers, you're going to find out what their prices are, how early you should sign up, and then what you can do in the meantime to prepare. If you haven't taken an out-of-hospital class in your area, there are tons online that you can take, but still follow it up with a doula for what the protocols are for your hospital. Because once you understand this is what's going to come out at this time, here are their timelines, whatever. By the way, there are no timelines when you have a baby, okay? We don't know what your baby's position is. We don't know. There are no timelines. Once you are checked into the hospital, the timeline is, I'm not leaving without a baby. You don't need to rush. You don't need to, whatever. Even if your water breaks and you're there now and you're on a clock, I'm going to limit my exposure to vaginal checks. I'm not going to have any because my waters are broken, but I'm not leaving without a baby. So let's just see how labor progresses, and we're going to work with my hormones. And then if we need to start Pitocin, we'll do that later. And we're going to, whatever. There's a lot that you're going to learn in birth classes, you guys. And that opens up the options for what kind of birth you're creating, no matter what your baby presents with. The classes are number one, getting a doula number two, and getting your partner on board with what is going to make you feel safe. Partners that are uninvolved and don't think they have a place in it, you need a class that pulls them in and a class that actually shows them, like, no, it's not the old days where we smoked a cigar with a scotch in the labor room, you know, outside the labor room. It's not like that anymore. You can actually be present for your kid's birth. You could actually catch your baby. That could be an experience that you have, catching your son for the first time. How cool is that? Right. And Morgan, I'm going to bring up your first birth, because I see that birth every week when I teach. And your husband's hands were so excited to touch that baby. He could not wait for it to come out of your body. And then he wanted that baby on him so bad. He kept going like this. And you're like, hi, I've got my baby on my chest. He was like antsy for it, you know, and you see that in the video. It's so sweet. And then he always washes his hands to come out. Like, is the placenta out yet? Is it my turn yet? I'm like, dude, chill. You know, but that excitement can be your partner if they feel connected. And the number one thing that I bring up from the time a parent calls me is that this is not your birth. This is your baby's birth. Mm. this is your labor with your baby, but it's their birth experience. You already had that with your mom. It's their birth. Would you make different choices if you thought that every choice or non-choice you make, it would affect your baby for a lifetime? Because that's literally what's happening. You're setting patterns in this baby's nervous system from conception forward, but especially during the labor and birth process. And when you understand that, you start to make different choices with your hospital, with your provider, with your doula, with your education, all of that. It's your baby's birth. What does he or she need? And how can you support them coming into a warm, loving, kind environment? Because remember, we're animals, we're mammals. What is imprinting them lasts forever. And we don't, I mean, they're already going to have lots of therapy because you're their parent. Like, we don't need extra therapy, like later on, right? Okay. I mean, God, I'm still in therapy. I'm 53. So thanks, Mom. Anyway, it's just really important that you start prepping that stuff ahead of time and never underestimate the power of a good education. Just going to YouTube and watching 75 videos in random orders is not going to give you the kind of education that you're going to get with a systematic, then this happens, and this happens, and this happens. Understanding your hormones, understanding what, whether you're choosing medication or not, doing early labor at your house is going to make a huge difference in the experience you have at your hospital, because it's going to keep you home longer. You're going to feel differently by the time you get there, which is what we want. The hospital is not there to save you. And once you have gotten your mind and body and soul kind of prepared for labor and the connection you have with your baby, it shifts everything.
As we are talking about birth and postpartum support, I want to share with you Needed, my favorite reproductive health nutrition brand. Pregnancy and postpartum are the most nutritionally demanding phases of a woman's entire life. And many women stop their prenatal after birth. But as a naturopathic doctor, I actually recommend continuing it for at least the first 9 months postpartum, or the entire time you are breastfeeding, whichever one is longer. Needed's prenatal multi is the most robust formula I've ever seen. And that's important because if you're going to take the time to prioritize supplements, you want it to count. It contains bioavailable nutrients in their evidence-based dosages, which are well above the bare minimums that we are seeing in most prenatals. Their quality standards are also top tier, with transparent sourcing, rigorous third-party testing, and that's why over 10,000 practitioners now recommend Needed. Now, also, they have the results from their IRB-approved clinical study, which confirms what we have seen clinically. Women who take their Needed prenatal multi have significantly higher blood levels of nutrients critical for postpartum and beyond, including vitamin D, B6, B12, riboflavin, K2, and selenium. Only women in the Needed group reach the sufficient levels of vitamin D, which plays a big role in immune health, energy production, and mood regulation, all things that are very important during that postpartum season. So while there are many ways that you can support yourself postpartum, continuing your prenatal is one of the simplest and most impactful habits, and Needed makes that easy. Learn more about the study at thisisneeded.com/thrive, and you can use the code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 20% off your first order. Yes, healthy mother, like a little affirmation or mantra, because you deserve it. Yeah, I think that staying at home as long as possible, we talked about this a little bit before we started recording, but that's just something that when people are planning a hospital birth that they don't even take into consideration. And as you're saying, if you take a really good birth education class, they should all tell you that, unless, you know, you're one of those people that has some kind of extenuating circumstance. Not talking about that situation, talking about the vast majority of low-risk women who are just planning a hospital birth for whatever reason, stay at home as long as you possibly can. Now, the worry is that the baby's going to be born in the car on the way to the hospital. That happens sometimes. And you know what? It's okay. But it probably won't happen to you. And this is one of the benefits of a doula, is that they can assess the situation a little bit more accurately than you and your partner who've never given birth before, to say, this is when we should now go to the hospital. But when you stay at home and you get that long, early labor can be days, you guys. Like, we do not start having contractions and immediately like jump on the ball and like, you know, think that this is going to be it imminently in the next 4 hours or something. Like, maybe it could, but you'll know, you'll definitely know. But if it's, you know, you're taking a contraction every 5 to 15 minutes and you're kind of going, ooh, through it, you've got a long time. Okay. And you want to do that in the comfort of your home where you can rest and move around and eat and not be on the clock, like you said, not be told you can't eat or told that these are the things that are happening to you or just disrupted. Those, I think early labor is almost one of the most pivotal parts of labor in general, because if we can not mess that up and we can let that cascade fall into a good active labor pattern, it's harder to interrupt. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, you're the one that would know this better than me, but in my experience, it feels like it's harder to interrupt a really strong active labor pattern in the kind of ways that early labor can like stop, start, right?
Well, and it depends too, because if you feel safer at the hospital for whatever reason, then a hospital is a good place for you to be. However, when you take a good education class and you've started practicing with your partner and you're feeling really secure in, I know how to breathe, I know how to be upright, I know that I like laboring on the toilet. Oh, I really like going side to side on my ball. Like, you've got the practice going because you've done it, and your fears, you've talked about them, you've found backup plans for them, you know what you can control and what you don't. You feel more confident at your house. You feel more comfortable doing labor because there's no emergency. You're like, oh, it's going to tighten and build up to a peak, and then it's going to go. And I'm going to breathe like this when it happens. And sometimes I'm going to want touch, and sometimes I'm going to be, get the hell off me. You are hot. And you're going to flow back and forth, right? And you're going to wander around your house naked, and you're going to pee in your toilet, and there's going to be bloody show, and you're going to be like, cool, it's not going to freak you out because it's normal. And you're going to be eating and drinking in labor with nobody putting pressure on you not to do that, which is not evidence-based, by the way. And your home is your lair. You are a mammal. You feel safer in your cave than you will being observed by strangers and having lots of pokes and prods and people asking you. That takes you out of your momentum. So when my moms have stayed at home longer because they feel more confident because they've practiced, and then they get there at the end. So one, we also have to keep that same momentum in the car ride. So music in the ears, 40 blinks on, which are the eye mask, quiet, doing your thing, moaning, moving with your body, usually in the back seat. If you're in active labor, you're not going to want to be straight seat belted in the front seat. I guarantee that. You'll be like, F all of you. That's not happening. But knowing ahead of time what to expect, because you've learned that in a class, is much easier to know when I should go, right? Because moms are like, okay, should I go at 411? I'm like, yeah, if you want an epidural. Well, no, I want to stay home as long as possible. I'm like, okay, then you want to go when it's imminent. You don't want to go when it's, maybe it's a good time. If you're chatting and having conversation and telling your husband how to pack the car, that is way too freaking early to get to the hospital, like way too early, right? Normal labor is so boring. You want to do the boring part at home. And if it's stop start for a couple of days, your baby's trying to get into a good position. Your body's revving up. You need to sleep, right? The hormones that cascade and govern your labor are what start your labor, because you'll never stay pregnant forever. That is not a thing. It's never happened on the planet. And if it ever does happen, that woman is going to make so much money in the Guinness Book of World Records. She's pregnant 17 years later. That's not happening, okay? Your hormones and the cascade of melatonin mixing with oxytocin, that's what regulates your contractions. So let's go to this, that when we're after your classes, after your doula, after your conversations with your partner, he or she knows what makes you feel safe. You guys have had the conversations about advocacy, what I want, what I need, how to get things back on track. These are my number three things that I really, really need, whatever those are. And they're my do or dies. So if baby disrupts things and makes it go in a certain direction, these are my things. You guys help me get that back on track. You need to feel so safe with the people that you're taking into the hospital that you can put on an eye mask and let everything else go.
Okay. And put on an eye mask is like, people are like, what do you mean put on an eye mask? No, literally your visual brain, the input that we take in as our smart cognitive humans is too much. And if we can block out one of those major senses so that you're not getting in your head and you're overthinking things and you're seeing stuff and you're getting stimulated and you're starting to have ruminating thoughts and whatever, that's going to help this whole situation. So literally putting an eye mask on, even if you feel silly, even if you feel, it doesn't matter, who cares? When you are in the car transferring to the hospital, you put on an eye mask. When you're getting out of the car, you maybe flip it open to take a step and then you have your husband lead you, or you're sitting in the wheelchair. I mean, hopefully you're not in the wheelchair, but like maybe, I don't know if it feels better, but you're trying to block out any of that excess stimuli that's going to derail this process. So that's what you mean literally, like, because I think some people are like, what do you mean by that? No, you're literally going to wear, you're blocking out your vision so you don't see anything, and you can stay in the zone, that labor land internal zone. It's very psychedelic. It's very ethereal between worlds. It can be a super cool experience too. The worst experiences I've ever had in my labors were when I was the most in the room, like when I was the most lucid, yeah, alert and aware of what was happening. That was when I started to like lose myself in not being able to cope with the intensity. And But when you stay in the zone, you are like working with it. You're rocking it. It's so cool. Like, and yeah, it feels really overwhelming. And then it starts to stop and it goes away. And you're like, oh, thank God. And then you get a break. And it happens again. But anyway, yeah. So literally blocking out your vision.
They're hormones. And as a mammal, we want, I mean, you've been building on your uterus receptors for oxytocin or receptors for melatonin. And they are ready to take those in. So when you let your labor naturally start, you want to keep cultivating what will bring those in because that's what regulates the push-pull of the contraction. So that's what we don't want to interrupt. The reason that we put on those that eye mask is because we don't see strangers observing us. We don't see our mother-in-law walk into the room because that would send us right over the edge. Or maybe it's our mother. Like we don't see the outside influences because all of a sudden, if I take my vision out, I'm connected to my breath. I'm connected to my baby. I feel her moving. And so I move with my body and I find something that feels right to me. And it might be circles. It might be walking back and forth. It might be patting my belly as it goes, but I'm not taking in all of that information. So one of the things that we do in our hypnobirthing classes, we go back to the five elements of birth, which are privacy. I think I wrote them down for different silence, safety, privacy, warmth, and darkness. And if we can keep those elements in our early labor, right? Because they're going to shift. Early labor is different than when we go to our active labor. Early labor is boring. It might be a day or two stop and start. It might be 6 hours. It might be 8 hours. Who knows? I'm not going to give you a timeline because that'll get in your head. But active early labor is just boring. You have one and then 5 minutes later, you have another, right? So how many minutes of that an hour are you contracting? 15 minutes, an hour? Is that a tightening? Can you do that? Yes, you can do that for days. That's not a big deal, right? It's annoying, but it's not a big deal. You don't have the fear of labor because you've had classes, you've been practicing, right? So if we're going to do those five elements of birth at home, we start out with silence. That can mean music in our ears. That can mean when I'm having a contraction, don't freaking touch me. That can mean I need you to silence the sports on the TV. I don't care who's playing right now. Like whatever it is that pulls you into, I'm shutting down my frontal cortex. We are going back into the hindbrain, our lizard brain, our reptilian brain, because that's how we birth well. When we can block everything out, block out our people mind and let our body do what it's supposed to do. Our fears are out the door. We're blocking everything out. Don't ask me questions. That's another thing that can disrupt the labor pattern. If she needs water, hand her water. If she needs food, put it up to her mouth. There's a lot of stuff you don't need to use words for because now she has to decide and think, critically think. We don't want that in labor. So take out that. And that when we go to the hospital, we don't need yapping nurses, right? I've had amazing nurses come in from the birth center side that only work with natural birth moms who are going to be birthing in water. And they never shut up. And you're like, what the fuck? And it's like, Jenny, I know you're excited about this. So am I. She needs us to be quiet. And especially during contraction. And sometimes they've never had a baby. And that's why they're just chatty, chatty, chatty. Love that for them. But not in the birth room, right? And as a doula, if I know that silence is what's working for you, I'm going to protect that space like a fierce lioness. No one's going to make sounds. If her clogs are making too much noise, I mean, like, if you can't quiet those clogs down, I need you to take them off, right? If I have to put a sign on the door that says, take a breath before you walk in because she's listening to her music and doesn't want me to talk to her. Like whatever that is, I always had a marker and paper in my bag in case I need, and tape, in case I needed to like pre-warm. Like, hey, if you want a fierce lady in your face, don't do this, this, and this, right? Mm-hmm. They want to work with you, but they need to know what your expectations are. So my birth plans for my families are not super strict if I want this and this and this. It is, here's how I would love it to go if it's working for the baby. If not, I'm going to flow with that, but I need informed consent with everything. And if I can't answer at the time, please talk to my partner. They know what I want. Like it's super simple, just list it off. And if you're getting to the hospital when you can't speak anymore because it's so intense and you need to focus on every surge that's happening to your body, your partner and your doula are your voice. They are going to be the ones advocating for you. You're going to nod and shake your hand and or shake your head. And then you're going to move into the bathroom where it's private.
I want to say too, that like for women, listening to this, send them to your partners, because there can be such an amazing, beautiful, transformative, connecting, like an anchor point in your relationship that changes things forever when your, I'm just going to choose husband again here, when your husband is the masculine protector of your space during this event with you. There's nothing less attractive than a man who's like doing the dopey, you know, dad, I don't know, like, what was going on? Like, well, I'm just going to sleep now, like, or whatever.
We're playing their PS2 in the corner of the room because they're so scared of what's happening.
Exactly. And I think it's actually such a very devastating loss of an experience for him too. You know, there was that reel that was going around the other day that was like the man being like, listen, I have to tell you guys something. Watch your baby come out. Like, watch your baby go down there and watch your wife push your child out and see what she's doing and da 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 da. And I just think it's like, what an opportunity for men to rise up into this setting and for you as a couple to enter parenthood feeling like you were on the same page and you were supportive of each other and you were there for you being there for her, really. I mean, she's not going to be there for you. And that's not the expectation, right? But like, that is so amazing and so cool, so that we don't enter parenthood with resentment and with him taking this weird energetic backseat situation being like, I don't know, I don't care, I don't know what's happening, I don't know, you know, like when, no, we've talked about it for 9 months. What do you mean? Why did you let that happen? I told you not, we talked about this, like you were supposed to do this, not the other thing.
But then also, why aren't we talking about that before we ever had a baby, before we ever got pregnant? What shit do we need to work out in our relationship so that we're on the same page for how do we communicate well? Why? How do I not take offense to your avoidant personality disorder or whatever it is,
yeah.
Attachment disorders or whatever. Like, why aren't we doing that before we get pregnant and then having those conversations so that we feel supported the whole way through? There is nothing sexier to a nurse than a partner, whether it's male or female, who walks in, owns the space, knows what their partner wants, is there just neck and neck with every contraction, and is building a team. Like, nurses don't see that. And when they do, they're like, whoa, step back. There is something different about this. How do I help support? It's so sexy. And when I have parents say, oh, I'm really worried about the staff, I'm like, I'm not. Why? I'm like, because look at your dynamic. You're walking in, you're attracting that. If a nurse walks in that is not working with your style, you're going to simply let her go. It's not even a big deal. You're just going to call the church nurse in and say, yeah, the vibe's not there. If it's not there for you, it's not there for her either. Like, it's no harm, no foul. You will never see these people again. But I guarantee that if they sucked, you'll remember them forever. Mm-hmm. And if they're good, you'll remember them forever. Right? So it's your job to own that space, attract what you have put into your birth. That's why education is so important. That's why reading Labor Like a Goddess is so important. That's why preparing Men, Love, and Birth, reading that if you're a male, before you get into the birth space, so that you've already been connecting through pregnancy. You've already been working out your stuff. Get into therapy. That's like my number one topic. Have those conversations so that when you walk into the birth room, it is a solid front that you're gathering a team. Like, that's how you work a hospital birth, is already understanding what your options are and feeling protected and provided for before you walk in those doors. And you will have that staff. I guarantee you'll have that staff because they are attracted to that. And if it's the wrong staff, they'll be like, I don't know, who's the nurse on the floor that's had a home birth? Because they need you in there, right? Because it's too connected for me. I can't handle it. But you'll find those people if you go in knowing what your options are. So silence can change. It can be music. It can be affirmations. It can be, don't talk to me. And then we go into, what was the other one? Oh, privacy. So the 40 blinks serve two things. They're going to serve darkness. And they're also going to serve privacy. I can't see anybody looking at their watch, tapping their foot, telling me I'm on a timeline. The power dynamic shifts. I've got my eyes closed. If someone's looking down at me, telling me what to do, I just go, no. There's no eye contact. You're not intimidated. That's like the best thing ever. Just no. And then they have, like, looked at you with the whites of their eyes saying, but it's so important. You're like, I feel fine. I'm good. Right? Like, it shifts the power. Okay. You're naked. You don't need someone in a white coat barking orders at you, and you're cool right now. You're fine. You know, your baby's fine. And they shift the power dynamic. It's the best thing. So privacy keeps you in your own bubble. Okay. Mm-hmm. Your partner is going to keep students and observers out of the room, right? You can put that on your birth plan. No students, no observers. Well, but they're residents, whatever. Great. Awesome. All those other women that don't have that on their birth plan down the hall, they can go observe them, not here, right? Mm-hmm. Your partner can push that off. Your doula can push that off for you. What else makes you feel private, like, and safe? Like, I don't want a male OB. There's only one on today and he's a male. Cool. He's not coming in until the baby is emerging from my body. Like, you still have control over that, right? And if my nurse happens to catch, I don't effing care. They can we'll sign the paperwork afterwards. Like, what makes you feel private, safe, and secluded from those things that could disrupt things? Like, you don't want observers. If a pediatric team needs to come to make sure the baby's okay after, they can stand behind the curtain. They don't have to watch your vagina while you're pushing. They can be behind the curtain. You'll see, and half the time, they don't even need to be in there. And then they'll leave and you'll never even see their faces. You just saw their feet.
Also, like, this is the kind of stuff that, like, you don't know unless you take a birth education class. Like, these are the things, you know, the example you're giving of, you have the eye mask on and you're just saying no. And the doctor is trying to say something, whatever, whatever. Obviously, if in that setting, for somebody who doesn't know that much about birth yet, they're not going to be approaching you in that conversation if the baby is, like, actively, their heart rate is tanking down to zero. That's not what we're talking about. It would be a situation where they'd say, like, hey, you know, the progress has been a little slow and we want to do another cervical check to see what's going on. Or, you know, this is about time we break waters. So, like, da da da. It's those kinds of settings.
And we want to start Pitocin and then we want to do this. And then because there's a timeline, I'm doing okay. Yeah. My baby's okay. Why? What?
And this is where you have, because you did education beforehand, you know that you can say no. Because, and I think I've said this even on a podcast with you before, is that going into the hospital sometimes can feel like talking to the police. It feels like talking to the cops because of the power differential, because of the education differential. And yes, obviously they do have education and they have knowledge that we don't have and whatever. And most of them are really, really, truly not trying to, like, put any harm, but they're not necessarily acknowledging how the intervention cascades really work, unfortunately. So we have to be the ones who acknowledge those. So anyway, you just have to have this come in armed. I mean, it sucks. This is why you and I are big advocates for birthing outside of the hospital, because it's less so that way. Outside of the hospital settings, it's still not completely, because midwives can totally hijack birth as well. But that's my point, is that, like, you have to know all these little things, that you don't have to have observers. Like, some women will just think that that's the way that it was. And I hated that. And I felt I was grooving and everything.
I felt exposed.
Yes. And then all of a sudden I saw all these people and they were my age or they were younger than me. And they were looking at my vagina and it made me feel so uncomfortable. And then I like sucked up. And then I couldn't ever get into good contraction patterns after that and had a C-section or something like that. And it's like, no. You can tell them to leave. They don't ever have to come in. If you had known that one piece, this is why arming ourselves with information is critical. Critical.
Well, and here's the cool part about arming. So there's arming without education and there's arming with education. When you're arming without education, you're coming in with your dukes up and you're ready to fight.
Yeah.
That is the opposite of every hormone in your body that needs to work to expel a baby. Like, opposite, right? Arming with education, you know what to let blow off. You know when things are important. You know what you want. It takes the sting out of it because you know what to expect. And you also know how you're going to handle yourself. You're more confident. You've got a birth team around you. You're just going to say no or yes or request what you want in a different way. So there's two kinds of arming. One will foster the connection and foster the hormones, and one will absolutely stop everything and you're going to get a cascade of interventions like you've never seen before. So, and I've been at both those kind of births, right? Which is why I stopped taking births that were non-educated, because I can't do all that education in a matter of birth space. It's not fair to them and it's not fair to me and it's not fair to the nurses and the docs. So I stopped taking non-educated families because if they're not invested, why am I invested? Like, it just doesn't make sense. You've got to invest in the kind of experience that you want and then flow with whatever baby presents, because you might have this utopian, it's going to be like this. And the baby goes, but I'm coming down in a weird position and it's going to be back labor and then this and this. And you got to flow with that, right? Oh, I'm going to have to do more positioning. I needed a TENS unit. Whatever it is, wasn't ideal, but you had options because you knew what those were ahead of time. Mm-hmm. So different, because that's, if you're thinking of the feeling you want in the room of that baby coming into warmth and patience and relief and love, how are we getting there? and it's education and it's support, the right support staff ahead before you even get there. So then when we move into warmth, okay, those hospital rooms are freaking cold. The reason they're cold is because if we heated them up all the time, we would have bacteria and viruses and like it would be a breeding ground, right? So we keep them at a nice frosty temperature where you can almost see your breath come out. The ORs are the worst. And we need to warm that up a little bit. Sometimes she's really hot. And so we're going to keep that temperature cooler, right? Because partner is sweating like a pig because she's like, it's got to be warmer, whatever. We're going to adjust to her temp. The rest of us are going to suffer through it. However, cozy could be the warmth. Does she have the robe she likes? Does she have her wubby fuzzy blanket from home? Does she have her own pillow? Because hospital pillows suck, you guys. They are this thin and you need your own pillows, okay? You can always change out your pillowcases with your own stuff later. Use theirs because if it gets gooky, who cares? But cozy could be her warm slippers that she likes because they're soft. Oh, her own clothes. You do not have to wear that itchy hospital gown. What the fuck? That 20,000 other women have lived in and maybe died in, and then they rewash it and put it on you? Absolutely not. There's something spiritual about that for me. I hate it. And do you look pretty in those pictures with the tricolor green hospital gown? No, you don't. So if you even care about your vanity, buy something on Etsy or just wear your own maxi dress.
Wear a cool big band t-shirt. One of the births I attended, she was just wearing this like gigantic Ozzy Osbourne, speaking of him, rip. But anyway,
absolutely.
Like, you know what I mean? And it just went down to her knees and her big belly. And then like, she was just like, you know, mucus and stuff was coming out and we were just wiping up her legs. And I was like, rock on, sister, you look awesome.
You're in a big diaper anyway. Like, wear what is comfortable. A maxi dress, pull it up for monitoring, drop it. Like, if you're, you know, modest. I was like so afraid my nipples would show. By the end, I'm like, pull my nipples off and get the baby out. I don't care. But be comfortable and cozy. If that means it's your husband's t-shirt, wear your freaking husband's t-shirt. Like, make it your own and say, oh my gosh, look at all of our birth pictures. I was in Ozzy Osbourne's t-shirt. It was his last concert, whatever. Like, do your thing. Cozy could mean she's been throwing up and you've got a bucket close by so that when she pukes, it's all over the floor. Okay. Like, how do you look ahead to see what is going to make her feel cozy, comfortable, and warm? All right. We are hitting the five elements of birth for a mammal, right? Mammals feel safe in a back, like if you're birthing as a sheep or a horse, you're going to the back field where you are alone and safe and private. And you may have one stallion that guards over you, but you are whatever is making that mammal feel safe, private, all the things. That's what we're going for. So the warmth part is what makes her feel in that moment safe and warm and cozy and private. The other thing too is after that baby comes, request. We need warm blankets. We need warm blankets for her because getting her with a warm blanket over the baby and over her can help prevent hemorrhage because as a mammal, we need to feel warm again. And we're trying to warm up her body. They have those in the warmers right outside the door. Guarantee they already have them. They may have not thought to bring them in, but as the partner, that's something or the doula, hey, we need warm blankets in here. She wants warm blankets. You didn't hear her request that, but she told you that before. And get those warm blankets over her and the baby, right? Really think about these things. This should be the screensaver on every doula's phone and on every partner's phone, as far as I'm concerned. We go into darkness. Those hospital lights will disrupt the melatonin from your body faster than anything else. When you walk into the hospital, because it is stadium frickin' lighting, and you're letting somebody guide you. I like you to be upright and not in a wheelchair because I want you to keep moving and your pelvis, letting you let baby drop with gravity. You're covered that up so that now that horrible lighting that can disrupt the melatonin, which can slow down your labor and your contractions because it works with oxytocin, is one of the best things you can do. When you get in the room, dim the lights. They only need one right over the computer. That's it. And then they can turn it so that it's not glaring you in the face. Really protect the light. That makes a huge difference in you feeling it like it's sexy in there. You've got your speaker and it's playing your music, whatever that is. It could be drumming. It could be your meditations that you've practiced to, but that's setting the stage. The lights are dim. You're focused on breathing and moving with your body. They're still taking blood. They're still running panels. They're still doing their thing. But you're dropped into your body. And this is why you stay home longer, because it's so much easier to get through all that crap when your thinking mind is shut down.
Yeah. And you're already practiced. You're already like you know what's going on and you know how to stay in your groove. I also love little LED candles to create like a bit of an ambiance. It's just beautiful. Like beautifying the space, I think people think that that's a trendy Instagram thing to do because of the photos. No. Beautifying the space and even just getting in water. People think water birth is so trendy. It's like, no, you idiots. Water birth is so much easier. It feels so much better. It's so...
It literally takes the pain away.
Yeah, it's like, that's not getting in the water because it looks cool. They're getting in the water because it feels good. And all of this, like the lights and the keeping it dark and the having affirmations or photos that are meaningful to you. Like, yes, I agree. Like closing the eyes or having them blocked off would be even potentially better. But like those things are because they actually help and they have a purpose and a meaning. And it's like just staying in this little cavey woomy spot. And it sounds like, oh, well, if I get pulled out and I have to have a conversation, I can just go back into that. But it's way harder than it sounds. It's so much harder to get back into it. It's kind of like pain management. If anybody has any concepts about pain management, it's really hard to like let up on pain meds and let the pain get bad again and then try to like track it back down. We just need to kind of like stay on top of it because that's the easiest way to manage it. Same thing with getting out of your headspace with labor. Yes, of course, you can get back in. Just know that you're going to try to do everything you can to prevent falling out of it in the first place. Okay, listen, if you're growing a baby, you're healing postpartum, you're making milk, your body's mineral needs are off the charts during these times. And that is why Dr. Leah and I swear by Relight by Redmond, the real salt people. It's an electrolyte powder that's packed with USA mined unrefined sea salt and essential minerals like magnesium, calcium, potassium. And unlike many other popular electrolyte brands, Redmond is the only company who is completely transparent about their sodium source because they own and operate the mine. It's in Utah. It's clean, delicious, and perfect for labor, breastfeeding, and thriving in mom life. So you can go grab a sample pack to try all the flavors, or you can just put your trust in me and get the strawberry lemonade. Head to redmond.life and use the code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 15%. Hydration handled.
And I mean, one of the best places for privacy and the safety and the silence and everything is the bathroom. Close the door. No one can bug you. Right. And another thing that we're using here, maybe it's because it's California and we're hippies. We have those Govee light projectors so we can do galaxy in the room. Have you ever seen those? They're amazing. We've got Aurora Borealis in the room. Right. What it does is it sets the stage when a nurse walks in and she's like, holy crap, am I in Norway? Yes, you are. That's how far out of my body I want to be. Okay. But they work amazing. I can't even tell you how many pictures I'm seeing now where it's like local hospitals. And I'm like, oh, I see the Govee's going because it does set the stage. You don't have to light all the candles. You just flick it on and it's on your pattern that you really like, whatever. Even if you're not paying attention to it, the ambiance of the room is paying attention to it. Water works in the shower. If you don't have access to a birth tub, get in the shower, put that water on your back, avoid your nipples because that can make it more intense because it's going to give you more bursts of oxytocin, but it can be on your belly and it can be on your back. But in that water, you can find a different groove. I've had some moms who just turn the shower on and just stand in there. It's the sound. It feels like rain. They go someplace else. Like utilize that bathroom. Absolutely. When you're off the monitors for 40 minutes, get in the water. Like they can tape up your IV with a little rubber glove, a little horse glove on there if you want. If you've got the sticker monitors because they're waterproof, get in the water. But know what your options are. Like that is so key. That is so key. But darkness, you guys, it really helps cultivate labor. And if for some reason, and maybe you're planning on medication, you can still have all those things. You can still keep the lights dim. You can still cuddle and chat and reminisce and talk about when you're going to meet your baby. All of that can still be present. And when you get to 10 centimeters, you can turn your epidural 100% off, let that baby labor down, and get up and move for birth. Get on hands and knees, move from side to side, have feeling back when the surge is starting to push down. Reconnect. You don't have to be in stirrups. You don't have to do it the way that it's not even scientifically good to do that. In most cases, you're going to have more options and lesser pushing time if you understand the whole pushing process rather than curl down, hold, and all of the coached pushing, which cuts off oxygen to your baby.
And increases your chances of pelvic organ prolapse later on in your life.
Yeah, like all the things. And just because you have medication for whatever reason, sometimes you didn't want it, but you needed it, you still have options. You're going to learn that in class. So there's just so many things with hospitals, protocols, understanding what is for your hospital. I mean, if you're in a rural hospital that maybe has been closed down now and you have to drive 2 or 3 hours to a hospital, then that's the one you need to prepare for. So now everything might be out and you've got to think about that one. So it's contacting a doula in that area and letting her know, hey, we were here. Our hospital's not working anymore. Now we're coming there. What do I need to know? Everybody wants to help you. There's a huge, amazing birth community, and we need to know how to work with the providers that are within that hospital system because they're the ones that are going to be there when it counts. So get educated early. That's, you know, when you feel confident walking into a birth room, it can be that sexy, yummy experience. And I want to give one little quick story. I had a mom who did all the things, practiced, did her meditations, whatever. And there's a point that we talk about in class. Like, you can always say no to everything when it's a provider just having a conversation with you, even if they're kind of dictating what they want. Unless 9 providers run in the room at one time, you have time to say, I want to talk about that. I want to think about that. Okay. When it's a true emergency, they show up and it's a very quick, fast paced because we're saving you and we're saving baby, right? Awesome. That's when I want you there. Other than that, we can have a conversation or wait an hour or buy some time. She was going through her labor. Everything was fine. And then those 9 providers showed up. And all of a sudden it was, this is what's happening with the baby. This is what we're going in right now for a C-section. So usually in that case, you got 3 minutes to get her to the room and prep her. And as she goes, I remember being wheeled down and seeing all the lights go past me going, huh? And she checked in with her baby and said, you're going to come out really fast and you're going to see daddy first. I have goosebumps.
Oh.
And she said, but I'm going to be right here when I wake up and I want to see your beautiful eyes. And that was her last bit of information she connected with her daughter with before they put her under. She had the wherewithal because she knew, oh, if there's a change of plans, the first thing I'm going to do is prep my baby. My stuff is secondary. I already have a plan for if anything goes, and my baby's going to be with her dad. And that's exactly what happened. And then afterwards, she processed that whole birth experience with her baby. Like, was that scary for you? Were you okay? Because you knew dad was going to be there. Blah, 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 blah. Talked to her like she was the huge soul in that tiny body that she was. And it was a much easier birth experience because she didn't take that trauma of it didn't happen the way I wanted or this, whatever, because she was prepared for whatever. She was confident with whatever's supposed to happen is supposed to happen. And I will be able to meet it in those moments. And that's what's most important about preparing for a birth, whether it's hospital, birth center, home birth, because you may transfer from a home birth, which is why when Morgan was in class, I'm like, pay attention. Don't block out everything that I say about a hospital because you don't know.
Yeah. And you don't want to not talk about it or think about it because you're so beholden to the birth plan. Like it feels contradictory or it feels hypocritical sometimes, like the words that I'm saying as I'm saying them, because I'm like, in one breath, I'm saying you need to know all this stuff. So you need to understand what the interventions are and how you can deny them and da, 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 da. And at the same time though, like, I don't know how to portray it. Maybe I'm not explaining it well, or maybe I am, I don't know, but there are things that happen in birth, and there were babies that died way more often than now that they do because of the way that our hospital systems are in those true emergencies. Like, we can actually do C-sections now. We couldn't do them beforehand. You know what I mean? So when that kind of a thing is happening though, hopefully the way that you'll feel, like you just outlined with that story about that woman, is that you'll feel like this was not caused by people meddling with my birth. I was empowered in this up until the very last second that it was like, I couldn't be anymore. Or I, you know, like, This was not something that happened to me. I was an active participant in the entire process. And then, oh my God, now I'm truly being saved. My baby's truly being saved. And so we have to make that plan. Or like in the case of Dr. Leah, my co-host, even with her first birth, like we, you know, home birth, hospital transfer, did all the things, truly did all the things. Same thing with her second birth. And it was just like, these babies are built like Legos and they're not coming out and her husband is a Lego, you know what I mean? And so it's like this square shoulder, but either way, like it, but she tried and she does not walk away. Obviously she didn't want to have C-sections, but they weren't traumatic births because of the way that she had choice. There wasn't Yes, she was prepared. And also, it wasn't an emergency situation, but it was just like, we're getting to an end of the rope here. Like, what's happening? Everybody's so fatigued. There's zero progress. Like, there's not really a good writing on the wall that this is going to happen vaginally. So like, let's make some choices. And sometimes that's the way that happens too. And so hopefully if that does happen to you listening to this, that you'll feel like, okay, I did like everything I could and tried. And so this is where it's a God thing. Like, I have to just, we're rolling with the punches of reality. Like, we can prepare and we can have our optimal ideal situation and setting, and we should. And we really, really, really should do that. And then, like, whatever's going to actually happen, we're sort of like pivoting and dancing. We're like on this board game of life along with it, and we can make some choices here and there and do the best we can. And then also, like, sometimes they're coming out with their face first, or sometimes there's an arm stuck and we can't, or whatever it is, you know, these things do happen. And so we can pivot and not be completely shocked and traumatized because we've already actually gone there in our mind. What happens if I have to go have a C-section? Okay, husband, do you know that if I am going for a C-section in this kind of a setting, you are taking the baby and you are staying with the baby and the doula is going to stay with me. And like, then this is what's going to happen. And then that's going to happen, blah, 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 blah. Because they've already talked about it, because they were educated and they knew that it could happen. And they knew what were the options that they have maybe available to them in that setting, that baby can do skin to skin with dad. It doesn't have to be swaddled right away. Or maybe the baby can't in that moment, but if we can, we'll try. Like, do you know what I mean? I don't know. I wish that there was an analogy for this. I guess a board game does sort of give that analogy of how you have to make in real time pivots, but you have to know the rules of the game in order to make those pivots. And so this is the education that all comes into this. So anyway, Kara, I just love your brain. I love the way that you explain things. I love your passion. I love listening to you. I can listen to you all the time.
I feel the same way about you.
Oh, that's really sweet, but I am not at all as funny as you. You are.
You're not. That's true. That is true. I am really funny. So you can't like keep up with that.
No, you're like a stand-up comedian. Like, you have very much comedian vibes, and it's just so much fun to work with you. I really, really appreciate it.
If I could pack a stadium just talking about vaginas, actually, I probably could. I think people would probably enjoy that. But no, and I think that is part of the reason that I want people to get educated early so they can find the light parts about birth. Yeah. And I want them to find out how they were born with their mom, because that's where their patterns were set, right? I was induced, so I feel rushed for everything and I never have enough time. That's literally a pattern that I've had my whole life, and it came from my birth.
Oh my God, so was I. I was induced. I never knew that that was the reason why.
And can you like prepare, and then never feel prepared? And then you can get on the stage and just totally be prepared. How crazy is that? Those are patterns that are set in our births. C-sections have their own patterns. The way we were gestated has its own patterns. Like, there's so much that, and sometimes what happens is a mom will get through her pregnancy, and then all of a sudden there's this fear that all of a sudden just overshadows everything. And she's like, I don't know where this is coming from. I've never been scared about that. And it could be a breastfeeding fear, whatever. And then I go, well, did that happen to your mom? And she's like, I don't know. She goes and talks to her mom. Yeah, when I was 8 months long, this and this and this. I'm like, oh, so that was your mom's stuff. But you were in there, so you were baked in all those feelings. So that's why you feel that way. Oh, that's her stuff. I'm like, yeah, so you can let that go. But it will show up in your body when you experienced it. And so a lot of times knowing that can help you let it go and go, oh, not my stuff. Oh, and now I see how it affected me in all these different areas of my life. How crazy is that? But that's how we heal. And that's one of the reasons I want my parents, both parents, to find out about their births, because that's going to come into play during pregnancy, labor, postpartum.
There's a really good book called The Body Keeps the Score, which I'll put in the show notes, that highlights more about that in case you're thinking that that's woo-woo magic and that it's not real. It's very, very real. And then also there is an entire field of study called perinatal psychology.
Yeah, birthpsychology.com. There's a ton of information on that.
Yep. And it's all about how the way that we were born affects our life patterns. And I am not one to say, because, you know, some people are going to be listening to this and they've already had a traumatic birth and they're going to say, well, great, sweet. Thanks for rubbing it in my face. I'm not trying to rub it in your face.
Nope. We just need to talk about it and work it through.
Yes. We just need to have awareness that these things can play a factor in our life, just like every other thing, every other factor. And you know what? You did the best that you could in that moment. We're not trying to shame you. We are trying to empower people who don't know that these things exist, that they tell them that they do exist so that they can do the best thing in the moment. But if it's already happened, you can rewrite it.
There's still healing to be had.
Yes. Yes. You can go back and it's okay. And just understanding, like, like, you know, my husband was breech. And so he was a C-section in like 1981 or something. And I think about like, how could that maybe play into like the kind of upside down or like very different sorts of thinking that he has about all sorts of different stuff in his life. And who knows? I mean, who knows? But it is interesting. And for some people, there will be real, almost like memories that come up when they start to learn this about themselves or even about their children that they have existing anyway. So,
you know what? I have to say something here. Yeah. What comes to mind when Gage was born, right afterwards, he kept saying, he's okay. He's okay.
Yeah.
I'm like, isn't that interesting?
Yeah. I wonder, I've asked him about that a million times. So my birth, okay, I'll put my birth video also in the show notes so you guys can watch that with Gage, my first. But my husband, when he comes out, he's like, he calls me Moses and he's like, he's okay, Moses. He's all right. He's okay. And I was like, wait, did you think he wasn't? Like, did you, this whole time, were you thinking that he wasn't? Because he never expressed that to me, thank God. I mean, I was never thinking there was anything wrong with him. I was more just like a wrung out towel, you know, after 36 hours of labor, feeling very like, when is this baby coming out?
I'm going back to his own birth experience with his mom.
Yeah.
Right? If they were thinking that he wasn't going to be okay. And then I'm okay. Everything's okay. And that was his expression of that. Because yeah, when it came out like that, I was like, I watched you through that whole labor, dude. What?
Yeah, it was so out of character. It was like nothing was, there was literally, everything was completely fine with the baby the entire time. There was not one heart decel. So for him to say, that was the first words he said. Yeah, it's really interesting. It was totally like coming from the subconscious part of him. So, okay, the show notes will be packed on this one, you guys. So this is hopefully so helpful. Anybody planning a hospital birth, that you can go into it and just absolutely rock it.
And send, if you love your friends and your family, this episode needs to go to them before they have a baby, before they're pregnant. When they just get pregnant, they're 1 second pregnant, send them this episode so they can go, oh, I should worry about my provider and find a doula, whatever. The earlier they get this, the better. So if you don't love your friends and family, don't send it to them because they need it really early.
1 second pregnant.
1 second pregnant. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Carrie, so much. And we will definitely have you on in the future.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye. Are you pregnant or you're trying to conceive and you're looking for reliable natural health information about how to have a healthy pregnancy and also prepare for the future steps in motherhood to come, like the birth, the breastfeeding, and the postpartum? Because I have got you. So this is exactly the reason why I made the 6-week pregnancy call. And it's my most comprehensive resource. It's the thing that I absolutely love. I've poured my heart and soul into it. It's all of the things that I wish that every woman knew when they are entering motherhood. It's a pregnancy health course, birth prep series, breastfeeding 101 class, and a postpartum planning course all in one. And normally I run it as a class with live Q&A calls, but now it's available in a content-only format so that you can purchase it at any time and start learning immediately. It's called the lessons-only format, and it is just only all of the video lessons that you'll get access to for forever. So log on to milkmedicine.com/lessons-only or check out the link in the show notes.
In order for others to hear this information, please leave a review with Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and share with a friend who would benefit from this content. Please remember that the views and ideas from this podcast are for informational purposes only and are not intended to be a substitute for medical care of any kind, including the diagnosis and treatment of any disease. Consult with your provider before integrating any of this information into your own healthcare plan. A healthier future starts now, and it starts with you.